Well, this morning we begin our journey in the build-up towards Christmas. And this year we're going to be focusing on what's all the song and dance about Christmas. In other words, why all the fuss about Christmas? What's the big idea behind it? And what I hope to do, God willing, is to work through some of the great songs, some of the great passages that speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christmas is all about. And this morning, of course, we're going to have a look at this well-known passage in Isaiah 9. Now, I don't know about you, but I was sitting in my office this week and preparing this talk, and I thought, oh, I can't believe it, it's December again. The carols are playing in the shops, the decorations up. Actually, yesterday, the shopping malls were just absolutely crazy. I think there were four or five different Facebook posts of people complaining about queues in the shops. And already, people are starting to get into the swing of things. What? Yeah, hey, Christmas is here. It's the summer holidays, or has become better known these days as the festive season or the holiday season. Specials abound, although the specials are actually more expensive than the normal shop prices. But be that as it may, and there's lots of specials. Bottle stores advertise widely, and everybody seems to be having a great time. Father Christmases are in the shopping malls. You see them there. And things are just getting hectic. Just this weekend, I've hardly eaten at home the whole weekend with one thing and another, this function, that function. And I'm sure you guys are in a similar position out here for a Christmas function, over there for something else. And so sometimes I actually get to the point where I just wish that Christmas would be scrapped, that we wouldn't have Christmas, because it's just a hype, it's just commercialism, it's just madness all the time. But I think, and I'm only thinking, that we should scrap Christmas. Of course we can't, because Christmas is a great time period in the church calendar. And there's a lot more to Christmas than just shopping, presents, decorations, and of course massive Christmas meals. There's more to Christmas than family and singing the carols and lighting candles. So what is Christmas really all about? Why all this song and dance at this time of the year? Well, the next 5 weeks, God willing, we will look through this to try and get a better understanding of what's going on. This morning, we begin our journey by looking not at the message that the angel brought to Mary, or even by looking at the birth of the Lord Jesus, but we're going to go back in history, in our calendar, about 2,700 years back into history. In other words, about 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born. And I want to have a look at a promise that the Lord has given us way back then, about Christmas. And so if you haven't got your Bibles open to Isaiah 9, now would be a good time to open them and to have a look there at Isaiah chapter 9. Just three comments really this morning as we have a look at that. The first comment I want to make, and that Isaiah speaks about, is this land of darkness. Now, a lot of what Isaiah has to say, if you've ever read through Isaiah, you will know what he has to say, and a lot of it is about God's judgment coming on people because of their lack of trust and their lack of faith in the Lord himself. Remember that God rescued the Israelite nation from the land of Egypt. He did some wonderful miracles to bring them into the promised land. And Isaiah is now at the point with God speaking to Isaiah and saying to Isaiah, "My people have refused to listen to me. I am going to judge them." And you'll notice that as Isaiah begins in chapter 9, he begins with the word nevertheless. Nevertheless what? In other words, he's saying that what I've just said, something else is also going to happen. So I think it would be good for us just to have a look at what he has just spoken about, so that this nevertheless actually makes sense. Now, you just have to go back one chapter to realize what Isaiah is saying. So if you have a look at chapter 8, you will see that well, the heading in the NIV is Assyria, the Lord's instrument. In other words, implying that God is going to use the nation of Assyria to destroy the people of Israel, to bring judgment upon them. And so notice here in verse 3 of chapter 8 that there is a child to be born. This promise of Jesus in chapter 9 is not the only child born or promise of a child to be born in Isaiah. Chapter 3, and here if you're looking for names for grandchildren or for your own children, chapter 3 has a wonderful name here. It is Maha Shalal Hashbaz. I don't know what you would call that as a nickname. Maybe you call him Hash or Baz or something like that. But here we have this idea that a child with the name of Mahar Shalal Hashbaz is going to be born. If you have a quick look down at the footnotes at the bottom of the page there, you will realize that that name means quick to plunder and swift to the spoil. It's not actually a very great name, is it? And we are told here in chapter 8 by Isaiah that before this boy is, well, I suppose about a year old, children start talking at about a year, before this child can say mama and dada, Damascus is going to come and plunder the area. So within the next year, or after the child is born. And so what we see here is Isaiah warning the Israelite nation, warning the nation of God's people, that there is a time coming where there is judgment coming because of your lack of faith and lack of trust in the Lord. And there will be no escape, which is alluded to by this name, Mahalalel. Well, I've even lost the name now, but it's alluded to that they are going to be quick to plunder and swift to the spoil. They're going to wipe out everything. They're going to take everything, and it's going to become theirs. Now, in the Bible, there's a picture running right through the whole Bible, and often when the picture is painted of God, it is a picture of light. And when there's a picture painted of judgment, it's a picture of darkness. And Isaiah picks up on this picture analogy in chapter 9. So chapter 8, judgment. And in chapter 9, he speaks of those in verse 1, of those who are in distress. Or verse 2, of those who are walking in the darkness, of those living in the land of the shadow of death. In other words, what Isaiah is saying is that this nation of Israel that are in distress, that are walking in the shadow of death, that are walking in the darkness, they're actually under God's judgment. Now, the Bible is very clear that it wasn't just the Israelites that fell under God's judgment, but it makes it clear that all of us are also under God's judgment. All of us have stepped outside of the way that God wants us to live. Ask your spouse if you are perfect. They will tell you otherwise, even though you might think you are. We have stepped outside of the way God wants us to live. And the Bible calls that sin. We don't listen to God. We don't want God to rule our lives. We shake our fists at God and tell Him to get lost. We try to do things in our own way. And in the language of Isaiah in chapter 8 and verse 6, we reject the gentle flow of Shiloh, which is a picture of God's goodness. In other words, we reject the goodness of God. And we rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, which is a picture of pagan ideas and ideologies. You see what Isaiah is saying? That's who all of us are. We reject God's goodness, and we enjoy and want to do all the wrong things. And so, chapter 8 and verse 7, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters
of the river. In other words, judgment. All human beings, you and me alike, live under God's judgment. We live in darkness. Now, because of this darkness that all of us live in, Christmas suddenly now becomes a big song and dance because of what is promised. And so, secondly, this morning, yes, there's a land of darkness, but there is a promise of light. Have a look here again at verse 1, where Isaiah says, "There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress." Verse 2, "The people walking in darkness, what have they seen? A great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." In other words, God does not like to see us walking and living in darkness. He does not want us to continue to reject Him and to do our own thing and to continue sinning against Him. So He's given us hope in the midst of this darkness. Perhaps like a lighthouse on a dark night when you're out at sea. Or perhaps like the first rays of light after a dark night or a difficult night. There's hope. There's that glimmer of light. There's the promise of rescue from that darkness. And the Bible goes on to speak about this. You see, God doesn't laugh at us and say, "Ah, look at you silly people there disobeying me, ha ha." He does not do that. He does not want us to have to face His judgment. He wants us to see the light in the darkness. He wants us to turn to Him. I don't know, maybe some of you have either read or watched the movie, The Lord of the Rings. And in one particular scene, you've got Gimli the dwarf and Legolas the elf and Aragorn, who is the heir to the throne, together with some elven armies and the riders of Rohan, and they've spent the entire night fighting against Saruman's Uruk-hai. This might not mean much to you, but I want you to listen to the analogy. And there's been a huge battle. There's like 10,000 Uruk-hai, and there's about 1,000 of these other soldiers. And things are not looking great for Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli and the rest of their armies. And they're getting tired, and the night is drawing on, and the battle is getting fiercer and fiercer, and the night is getting darker and darker. And at one point in the middle of the battle, Aragorn remembers some words that Gandalf the Wizard told him. "On the fifth day, look east at first light, and help will be there." And as Aragorn, on the fifth day of this long battle, looks east at the first rays of dawn, the army of Gondor arrives to come and help them with the battle. And of course, the Uruk-hai are defeated, and the story continues. But is that not what Isaiah is perhaps talking about in this passage? That God is sending help. We're living in a land that is filled with sin. We only have to watch the news to know that. And all of us face God's judgment. But there is this promise that no longer those who are in distress will have to face gloom. And those who are in darkness will see the light. And so notice what the result of this promise is. Verses 4 and 5. Just look at some of those words there. Rejoicing. Our yokes will be shattered. That's that big thing that they used to put around the animals when they were plowing. In other words, our burdens will be lifted. And wickedness will be destroyed. It's a great picture of the hope that we can have in the light that God is giving us. In the midst of this darkened world that living in sin, God gives us hope. He gives us light. So can you see what part of the song and dance about Christmas is? Because it is God coming into this world and giving us hope when there is no hope.
giving us light when the world is dark, giving us freedom from sin when actually we should face judgment. Now, I think the third comment that I need to make this morning, we've had a look at the darkness that this land, that is, fills this land, this world. We've had a look at the promise of light, but how is this promise going to come about? And again, this ties in with Christmas. So thirdly, how will the promise come? Look at verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. And these are the well-known verses, but I'm going to read them to you again. And I want you to listen as I read them, remembering that this is the fulfillment of the light into the dark world. For to us, and here another child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. You see, friends, in a world of sin, in a world where all of us reject God, his remedy for this dark world that we live in, and the reason for all the song and the dance at Christmas time, is because God has given us a child, a son, who is not just a cute little baby wrapped in cloth and placed in a manger, but a child, a son, who will be the ruler of the world and will reign forever. In a world filled with people wanting to do their own thing and serve their own lives, in a world where people think that religion counts towards something and good deeds earn your way into heaven, God is judging and bringing judgment on those who refuse to listen to him. But at the same time, he provides the means of escaping and being freed from this darkness. But Isaiah doesn't tell us who this son is. He doesn't give us a name here. But if we jump into the New Testament and in Luke's Gospel, I'll put the verses up there. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through to verse 33, we read when the angel is coming to Mary, and the angel says to Mary, "Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be the child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." And here's the next bit that actually builds on from what Isaiah said. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. Remember that Isaiah's promise was that God would send his son. Carrying on, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. In other words, he will be a ruler. And verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. God's promise of light in this dark world is none other than the Lord Jesus himself. The promised child, who is the Son of God, who will rule this world forever, is given a name in the New Testament, the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus come to do? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. God loved us and sent his son, Jesus, as an atoning sacrifice for sin. Another way of saying that is that God sent Jesus to die in our place and take the judgment and the punishment that we deserve upon himself. You see, friends, the song and dance about Christmas is that in this dark world we have light, we have hope, we have salvation. We have someone who rescues us from our sin. So as we wrap things up this morning, just two questions that I want to ask you. Do you trust the Lord your God? Do you trust Him for your salvation? We live in this dark world. We are coming under God's judgment for disobeying Him. But do we trust Him? Now, I know that many of you already do. But there are some here this morning who've perhaps never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus, who think that they are fine by giving God a little bit of your time each Sunday, who think that it's fine just as long as I do some good at school, God will look with me. But in a way, that's like trying to make some light in a dark room when you haven't got a candle to light and your matches are wet. It's not going to happen. And so, friends, it's important that we do, in this dark world that is filled with sin and heartache and suffering and struggles, that we turn to the Lord, to the light that He has provided. And my prayer is that all of us would do that today. But my second question is directed to those of you who do know that salvation comes through Jesus. And perhaps this is something that we need to really work hard at, because we also get caught up in the hype and the festivities that go on around us. How are we going to use this Christmas season to speak to our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, those at the Christmas parties that we go to, about the real meaning of Christmas? Are we speaking to them about the real song and dance, or about the artificial song and dance of food and presents? Don't mislead people into thinking that Christmas is about fun and family and having a good time. Tell them the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for this morning. We thank You for these great words from Isaiah, Lord, which show us that we live in a fallen world, a dark world, a world that's under Your judgment. But we thank You also, Lord, for this world where You have stepped into it, a world that You've brought light into, so that we might have hope, that we might be able to escape Your judgment. And so, Lord, we ask that You would help us at this Christmas time, if we don't know You, to turn to You. If we do know You, to tell others about what You have done and why Christmas is so important. And so, Lord, we ask for Your help in this as we go from here. In Your name, Amen.